when this time of year rolls around, I tend to check in with one of my favorite folk artists who's always coming up with something surprising and thoughtful, and that is Joel Mabus. And even though it's a pandemic, I don't give a fig for that situation. Joel, I'm glad to talk to you by phone today, and I'm excited to hear what you can tell our listeners about your music and where to find it and see you play.
Well, seeing me play these days, and thank you, Kara, seeing me play is pretty much going to be on the screen for the next bit of a while. My last public appearance where I sat in front of people with my mouth open and everything was last March, early March last year at the Fretboard Festival. And like 2 days later, at least a week later, it was before St. Patrick's Day, as you know, the kaboom came down, and everything has been in live performance has pretty much been canceled until further notice, which is still we're still waiting on. So I've been doing things with video, homemade YouTube style video, and keeping things up on my YouTube channel. And as occasionally doing a concert or something with a Zoom, or I did a Facebook thing, which is people said they liked it, but I didn't like it. It was weird. At least with Zoom, I can see myself playing as though it were in a mirror, and not quite so weird. But anyway, things like that. Or where you can see me, and the things that do come and go a bit. Your chances for a stream here or there. But my YouTube channel is always able to see that. And I've been doing songs early in the pandemic. I was doing about one every week or so of some kind or another that I thought might cheer up spirits, and I let my emailing list know about that. And in the middle of the summer, I had knee replacement surgery, so I kind of dropped off there for a while. But I'm back, and I'm feeling good. There's no evil drugs in my system to kill the pain, and I'm doing good with that, and the knee is fine. And doing things again, kind of on a weekly thing. I've done a couple of Christmas things here lately for the YouTube. Because I usually do. let's be optimistic. I usually do some kind of Christmas concert somewhere in December, but this year not to be. So I'm putting some of my Christmas energy into the YouTube thing.
I've been enjoying the videos you've posted, and at your YouTube channel, the link to that channel is easy to find. It's on joelmabus.com. That's joelmabus.com. And I also receive the emails, so that's another place if you're interested in keeping up with Joel. You can find out, you can get personal communication from Joel.
Yeah. That link to the YouTube thing is right there from the top of the front page of my website, so you don't have to go searching for it very long. Or you can just go to YouTube and type in my name, and you'll probably get me pretty quick.
That's right. One of the longer segments on the channel is a special mini concert you performed for Woodstock.
Hey, I play the Woodstock man. It's Woodstock, Illinois.
Oh, okay.
Which is a lovely town, and as I allude to in that thing, if you go there, you're going to think you've been there before. And that's truer than you think, because the movie Groundhog Day was filmed there.
Oh,
and,
no.
And the town square is the town square that you see in the movie Groundhog Day, with the little pavilion in the middle, and the town square and the buildings are the same. That's where they did all the filming. And so you walk around there and say, boy, this looks familiar. last time I was there, I even had lunch in the diner that Bill Murray kept going to.
Outstanding.
It's pretty weird. But they do a festival there in the summertime, and this year they couldn't do it. So they've decided to replace the Woodstock Festival with these Woodstock Wednesdays. And they've been having some of their performers of time past do a little 15-minute or so streamable thing, and some people stream it. Mine, it goes via my YouTube link, so you can get it at my YouTube channel too. But I did a little Christmas thing because it premiered December 2nd, and they wanted me to usher in the holiday season. So I did a little bit of my stuff, all from the my first Christmas album from some years ago.
That would be 2012.
Is that?
Oh, no, that's
1999.
You're right.
It's the one with singing on it.
How Like the Holly.
Yeah, and so that's, I think all the material I did there is from that pretty much, and then I did the follow up to that. I did a Parlor Guitar Christmas, mm-hmm. all instrumental, fingerstyle guitar of old traditional hymns and carols of Christmas, that's still available, by the way. for either for download at one of your favorite download places or by mail from me.
I love to play it during music programming along with the classical music. The songs are so beautifully set, and
well, the songs are as old as most of your classical.
There you go.
So there's that.
I wanted to ask you, or sort of follow up on a question about the 2019 release, Time and Truth, which was January, almost a year ago.
Yeah.
You were holding it back for a reason. The copyright restriction on Robert Frost's poem, Stopping by Woods. It expired, so you released the album. And I wondered, have you been looking at the next year of public domain
options? Oh, yeah, I have. I keep an eye on the calendar. In the year 2020... A large number of great songs from America are available in public domain now, including all the music from Lady Be Good, the musical with George and Ira Gershwin. So there's that song, Lady Be Good, Fascinating Rhythm is public domain now, and half of it, Deary Blues. Those are the big three songs from that one. And a few other songs, too, from the Great American Songbook. Are all available for this year. It's a 95 year rule, and you got to wait till that 95th year passes. So coming in January, we're going to be able to or anybody else can be accessed works done in America in 1925. So the 20s were such a wonderful time for music and books and poetry and art and all this stuff, and even film. And the copyright clock started ticking again in 2019. For many, many years, people are going to be bored with this. For many, many years, the clock was stopped at 1922. If it was 1922 or before, it was public domain. Anything after that, nope. Can't do it. You got to pay the royalties, or you got to get the permission, et cetera. And a lot of things happen. But the clock started ticking again by law in January of last year, of 19. And that's when 1923 opened up, 2020 in January, 1924 opened up, and this coming January, 1925 will open up. And if so, every year is this little bundle of gifts. If you pay attention to books, things that were written in those years, books that were written in those years, can now be published by anybody with a printing press or a website. So all those great novels of the 20s are going to be coming out in public domain.
Oh, isn't that marvelous?
As the carpet rolls on. Yeah.
It's wonderful, actually, that the material is still relevant and that a lot of the public still knows some of the hit songs of 95 years ago.
Well, yeah, especially when you get to the 20s, there's a lot of great songs that have been recorded over and over and over again over the years by Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra, and you know, you name it, up to this year.
Some things never went away, but some things are ripe for rediscovery, I would think.
That's true. There's a lot of hidden gems in the old repertoire, and Thanks to the internet, it's fairly easy for me to go digging sometimes. I get a list of songs that were popular in 1922 or 23, and I see titles I've never heard of before, and I say, I wonder what that sounds like. So I type that in and go searching, and there's some old 78 on a YouTube video that is playing it, and I've found a lot of stuff that way, a lot of stuff that nobody else really seems to remember. And then there are things that I remember well that nobody else seems to remember. a lot of great songs. Hey, you all remember this? And they go, what?
Maybe you were reincarnated from...
I just paid attention when I was a child. I think that's all it is.
Well, it's pretty a neat combination, your love of other songwriters' songs and the fact that you consider your own songwriting, you take that seriously too and hone until the song is ready. Many of which you can see on the YouTube channel we talked about. Where you're just playing in front of a camera, is that your home office? It looks a little
it's
bit like
home
the.
Office.
I was
yeah,
thinking it looks a bit like that NPR tiny desk kind of
yeah,
office.
It's a tiny desk concert. It's my little home office. I used to. I have actually a music studio in the basement office, but with my knee being bad this year, I haven't gone down there all that much. And so I have a bunch of my instruments up here in the business office, you know, with all the books overflowing on the shelves and all. And I just a couple of months ago upgraded my web camera, which makes things much more high def than the early stuff was just the thing that came with the laptop, you know.
Yeah,
which is good enough, but the other camera is a little bit better, and it's been an interesting process because I realized I'm actually. It's like performing for TV is what it is. It means gobsmack me. Oh, it's like TV. I remember an early friend of mine who had his first computer. He said, it's like watching TV and typing at the same time.
Who knew that we wanted to do that so badly?
But those little cameras get you, and you're right there. And if you have your monitor up, you can watch what you're doing. So you can pay attention as to if you're in frame or not, and you start learning the little tricks of that actors do all the time of sort of looking away thoughtfully and then coming back to the camera,
ah.
And things like, rather than staring into the laptop. I've been on so many Zooms where people have their laptop open and they kind of hunch over it. So you see a picture of their ceiling and their head kind of hovering over into the camera. I said, oh, I don't like that look. I'm going to have to change my attitude to the camera here.
Wow. Next thing you know, you'll set up a bunch of studio lighting and the circle lamp.
I have a little light bulb in front of behind the laptop that gets my face. You know, it's as fancy as that.
Well, you can watch my guest Joel Mabus on his YouTube channel by visiting joelmabus.com, where you'll find the link to the YouTube channel. And I also wanted to remind listeners of how many albums of various styles that you have. The conceit I came up with is there's one for every person in your family.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, besides the holiday albums for everyone, say different hymnals, which is a sacred album. You might have a relative who, you know, loves their connection to their faith. Ukulele crimes for, you know, the rebel in the family.
The ukulele rebels. It's all ukulele.
And a blues album. A lovely bird in this world.
Bird in this world. I actually did two blues albums over the years. The other one is Thumb Thump, which is more about the blues style guitar. More than the blues idiom, actually. But both of those were my take on the blues. And I have my what I call my Pete Seeger album, called Golden Willow Tree.
Uh-huh.
It didn't come from Pete Seeger stuff, but it's my attitude to that album is kind of what Pete Seeger had all his life. Of, you know, you can get a good song anywhere and do it, and some are a cappella, some have the banjo, and they're simple accompaniment, but lovely songs. I wrote some of them, but a lot of them are old things.
So I
kind of keep people guessing if they're trying to think what I'm supposed to sound like.
Exactly. And it's fun to read the descriptions on your site about each project and kind of what the concept was for you, what the burning desire of the moment happened.
Yeah,
to me.
I do have, for each of my albums, I have the liner notes to the album with the page for that particular album. So, yeah, you can go and read the shucks, as people used to say. You know, you can buy the corn off the corn, but yeah, you want to see the shucks, you got to buy the whole thing. And you can get the music off the internet, but then you know, what's this song about? So I have all my lyrics up and all the liner notes, and sometimes on a few of them some extra notes too.
We were talking on Monday today, and I know that in the few hours you will be recording to tape for the Fretboard Festival 2021. Is there anything you can give away about?
Well, the idea there is, this has been a long time in coming. Brian Heaney over at the museum has been kind of in charge of the Fretboard Festival the last few years. And he just, you know, it doesn't look like the museum's going to be open in time for the festival if it were to happen, which has been traditionally end of February, beginning of March. It's going to be pretty tight, even if we do get a vaccine. So he's conspired to videotape some of the artists that were instrumental in the early years of the Fretboard Festival, or just being audience favorites, and tape them in advance, and a little 20-minute segment, I think it's supposed to be, of performing in the museum. We're going to go into the museum with our masks on and take them off at the last minute and sing some songs and play. And I don't know who else is involved. All I know is my little part of it. It's going to be filmed today. And then that's going to be online or at the site or something sometime. I don't
know
exactly when that's going to be released, if they're going to wait until the time of the usual festival or roll it out when it's ready. I don't know. All I know is I'm going in today, and I'm going to do three songs.
That's going to feel good.
I'm taking my old Kalamazoo guitar for this, too. It's a lovely old antique guitar that was built at the Gibson plant right downtown. And I loaned it to the museum for display for 6 months a few years ago. And so it's going back to visit. And I'll be playing my songs on that antique guitar made in Kalamazoo.
So is the vaccine coming down the pike. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, you know, maybe because the Pfizer makes it over here in Portage, they can get us a pipeline for it. Eh?
Yes, I love the idea that we may be back to some kind of normal in the next year. And in the meantime, I just wanted to remind listeners that you still have so much to offer in terms of songs, songwriting, albums, performances online. And I just didn't want to give up our annual, semi-annual check-in today.
It'll chat on the radio, and I don't have to drive down to the studio.
That's
hey,
right.
It's pretty good.
I don't get to
see you, though. I just get to talk to you.
I'm a little worried. I'll never have a person in the studio again after this, you know, interviewing people in their pajamas.
Send our robot clones to do our work for us, and we can all stay home.
Well, it's been great to catch up. I wish you a happy holiday season.
Well, thanks, Kara, and the same to you.
Sounds good.